Hi, everybody, and welcome to the FinOps Nexus event. I'm your host, John Meyer, and today we're bringing you some exclusive interviews, thoughts, podcasting, insights at the FinOps X conference. And joining me today is Merritt Hughes, who's a specialist master at Deloitte. Merritt, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me as always, John.
All right, Merritt, we're here at FinOps X, and it's one of the biggest conferences in basically North America. There's another one that's happening, Barcelona, right?
Yes.
For it. But I really enjoyed this conference, all the conversations that come out of it. What are you looking forward to from FinOps X?
So, of course, my favorite part of FinOps X is just getting to see all of the people that I either work with on Slack or that I've met at prior conferences or however I interact with them. It's always great to have them come here, especially folks who live across country or across the world in some cases. Actually got to meet a colleague of mine from our Israel office who came all the way here for FinOps X. So it was great to even see folks like that.
FinOps X kicks off officially. Tonight is like an opening ceremony. Tomorrow is all the sessions on Thursday and Friday. What are you looking forward to from some of the sessions around maybe public sector?
So this year, there's two sessions that looking forward to. One's a Chalk Talk on public sector that includes representatives from both US and Canada governments. So let me restate that slightly. It has a US federal and a US local county. So it's from the CISO of Loudoun County, Virginia. And then Sarah Kula, who is from Canada's one of the health agencies. And then OPM, whose Office of Personnel Management, has a session on their FinOps program as well. Unfortunately, those are the only two public sector chalk tracks this year. Last year, we had a few more, and I'm disappointed to see we only have two this year. But we're here to still make the most of it.
Well, maybe it'll progress. Like this year, there's only two of them. Maybe you're going to have a couple more of the public sector meetups, engage a little bit more in the community. I think it's really cool that you have somebody from Canada joining them and really kind of bringing it, a diverse nature around it.
So Sarah Kula from Canada is actually who I presented with last year at FinOps X on my Chalk Talk on adopting FinOps in public sector. So great to see her back.
What are some of the emerging trends that might be happening around FinOps in the community today?
Ooh, overall, right now, there's a lot of focus on really understanding how tooling helps and doesn't help. To date, people were either trying to have one tool do it all, or they were trying to do it all without a tool. And now there is starting to be, I think, a little bit more of an approach of get the tool to do the thing that the tool does and get the best for that. And then figuring out what actually your better, more cost-efficient solution might be a homegrown, right? Particularly if you're single cloud, how to go from there.
Are there any specific tools or services that you're looking forward to kind of talk to or products around here while you're at FinOps X?
So I always like coming here to get the demos, even of products I think I know quite well, because new features come out all of the time, right? Yep. There's going to be new product announcements while we're here from certainly all of the cloud providers, but also from those tools. And keeping up with those tools can be difficult because there's a lot of them. In addition, a few new tools have hit the market within the last kind of 3 to 9 months that I haven't had a chance to look at. So I'm looking forward to learning more about those, to see how they can support, if not our public sector clients, how perhaps they might just influence the industry overall.
Talking a little bit more about public sector, but where do you see FinOps in public sector in the next 1 to 3 years?
So currently, we kind of have two main tracks that I'm seeing, and this is across state and federal. One trend is folks going, oh my, we need to actually put real process in here. And I say that because there's a ton of process in government. So many processes, very well documented workflows, et cetera, but they were built for a time where less refinement was needed. So there's an extensive approval process to get a new EC2 instance stood up. But that approval process does not currently, in many cases, not all cases, contain a how much will this cost? What is your plan to shut it down? Is this a temporary project? Have we put scheduling in place kind of at that beginning point? So some of them have been doing some management along the line, and now they're trying to refine that to make it better. Others, particularly in federal, where they rely a lot on systems integrators and consulting companies, et cetera, to do that work for them, have relied on those integrators to self-manage. And now we're seeing more and more government agencies want to have a policy procedures process that those SIs must follow, right? So that the agency is the one setting the standard, the minimum standard at least, hopefully continue to exceed those standards, right? But to date, a lot of it has been just whatever the integrator did to manage that cloud environment.
You said shut down those instances. What are they going to do later with them? How's it going to be used? But that sounds to be stuff that you should be normally taking into consideration when deploying an application and deploying the use, right?
Oh, so yes, today. But remember, a lot of things in the government are not the agile environments that you think of in, for example, a retail organization, right? Or broadcasting NBC trying to prepare for the Super Bowl, yep. Right? A lot of government applications tend to be long-running, long-standing, not once they're stood up, typically not a lot of fluctuation, maybe some quarterly spikes. But really what I was talking about, if you're thinking about a POC,
yep.
There was a huge process for getting it approved to stand up the POC, but there wasn't necessarily, and I'm not saying none, just not a guaranteed, but there was in fact a process to stop the POC. Because a lot of times people will be like, oh, we'll run this POC for a month, and then they do the POC, and then they forget to go back. And let's be clear, everyone, that happens in industry too. That is not just a government exclusion, right?
That happens everywhere.
That happens everywhere.
Wait a second. I think we've had this discussion where I have to go shut some things off.
Right. But I say that because we have to have a process for everything in the government. Yep. In industry, you get to go, oh, forgot to turn that off.
Yeah.
But if you can set at the beginning, hey, this is falling under a POC, let's add a tag with a termination date into that process way up here, then you reduce your need for a cleanup. And that's where I'm saying we're starting to reach that level of sophistication. So it wasn't that the knowledge wasn't there. It is interjecting it into those processes.
Merritt, we're here at FinOpsX. There's a lot of things happening. There's going to be some cool announcements, some Chalk Talks, some speakers, some success stories. And if you can't attend FinOpsX, don't worry, we'll all have some information, but there will be some stuff coming out. Where could someone go to learn more, not only about FinOps, but the communities?
So let's kind of break that into two portions. So for FinOpsX, the keynotes are live streamed. The main breakout sessions will be available on YouTube at some point in the future. Chalk Talks, gotta be here to see them. And those are actually my favorite sessions to go to because they won't be recorded for viewing later. Within that, for certain members of the foundation, there's a group Slack. There are also several other groups. You've got FinOps Nexus. There's another FinOps Connect that also have communities. You'll find a lot of the same people in all of them because we're nerds and we want our Slack notifications taken over by FinOps things that we then can't keep up with. But a lot of your community is what you make of it. If there's local meetups, go to them. If there's not a local meetup, start one. If there is an industry in your area, there's probably people doing FinOps, right? So you can find that community in a lot of places. Hell, there's a pretty nice LinkedIn community of FinOps people. It's not one of those formal groups. Just find a few of us.
Yeah. You can easily find us, tag us, and then just piggyback on all the conversations.
Yeah. So, you know, those communities can come out of a lot of places, and I don't think there's one primary place. I will tell you the best place at any conference to build a community is in the hallway, in the expo hall. The hallway track is the most important part of any conference.
Including the Starbucks track.
Starbucks track is also good, but not the early morning one because nobody's caffeinated yet. That's the mid-afternoon Starbucks crash.
The after lunch, the 1-2 o'clock when I need the Starbucks.
Yes, that's a great networking opportunity. The 7 a.m. one, nobody's talking.
So Merritt, talk to me a little bit more about the emerging trends of FinOps and what might be happening. Actually, let me change that one. I want to do the roles for it real quick. So Merritt, can you talk to me a little bit more, not only about your role at Deloitte and FinOps, but where do you see it evolving to?
So my role at Deloitte is as an advisor to, well, actually, it's a combination of things. So one is I'm an advisor to my teammates, right? FinOps is not a here is your formula that you follow process. And with that, we enable our clients. And sometimes that is helping our clients by setting up their governance process for them. Sometimes it is doing day-to-day FinOps activities for them, right? So forecasting, savings plans, recommendations, kind of work. So with that, I'm doing a little bit of all of it. I am currently working in three of the four major clouds. So at some point, if I use an AWS term to talk about OCI or an OCI term to talk about Azure, just realize that it's kind of like trying to be quadlingual and, you know, words just get mixed up. So
that's where you should be focused. Sorry, couldn't resist throwing that in.
Yeah, that's to standardize the reporting format, not the terminology. One of these days, I'm going to make a major mistake just based off of that, like the lunar landing thing that had centimeters versus inch conversion done wrong.
I don't think it's going to be that major, but
no, I don't think it will be, but for sure. But when I see trends, you know, it's hard because in industry you can move so much faster.
Yep.
You can just move. Certainly commitments are much easier in industry. You can move faster with them. So at this point, it's hard to talk about trends that apply directly to me, because we're a little like the grandma who's a few years behind the trend.
Just a little unique.
She's just started wearing skinny jeans with rips in them now. but kind of in my world, the real trend we see is really trying to make sure they're doing it right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to holistically attack everything instead of doing that incremental approach.
Yep.
And there's pros and cons to both. Sometimes if you're trying to do it all at once, it means it takes much longer to get started. Whereas if you can incrementally start, at least you're making improvements as you go. But kind of bigger industry trends, I see a lot of throwing around of the word or the phrase AI in FinOps. And it's very hard to understand whether people are talking about using AI to make your FinOps easier, whether they're talking about managing the cost of your AI, right? Or if they're talking about using AI to manage your costs. So for example, some of the AI tools that go looking for, perfect example is anomaly detector from AWS is effectively using AI to find that stuff. Some of the recommendations, et cetera, are as well. And finding what people mean when they're talking about AI and FinOps and then how they're using it is, I think, probably the next big trend, but people have to get really clear with that verbiage of which, when they say AI and FinOps, which one of those do they mean?
I think the other part of that is you just actually said three things,
yeah.
But I think there's a small portion of the fourth is that people are thinking AI when they really think automation, and they're confusing
true.
The terminology between the two
yeah.
of them.
That is also true. One of my pet peeves recently has been using words consistently and correctly and ensuring that everybody's using words the same way. So this is a little pop quiz for John here. John, if I say I stood up a new environment yesterday, and let's just say for the sake of consistency, I say that about AWS. What would you think I did if I said I stood up a new environment yesterday?
Oh my God, there's multiple things. One, you set up a new account, a new VPC, or you just stood up a new business application.
All possible definitions. In this case, it was a collection of four AWS accounts because they stood up their non-prod environment, which included four accounts of their, you know, their dev, their test, right? So finding those words, whether it's about what they mean for AI versus automation.
And company terminology.
Being clear with your words is probably actually something that's going to become even more important as these trends and these terminologies intersect, because yep. they are intersecting. They're not. So those examples I gave of FinOps and AI,
yep.
right? Those are all going to intersect. At some point, you're going to have to manage the cost of the AI that you're using to manage your AI costs.
And then manage that one that's managing yours to manage
right. it. And AI is going to be
sounds like
all
a never-ending cycle.
Hey, that is FinOps. It's a never-ending cycle, right? But finding those, you know, being very clear of what you're talking about and in what way you want to talk about it is, I hope, going to be a trend, because otherwise we're going to have mass confusion about how many accounts we stood up or VPCs within an account.
I think it's like an individual company-led course terminology. When we say this, we really mean this, and this is how it means between all clouds and providers and environments.
Yeah, exactly.
And then imagine an outside, like, FinOps consultant comes in and says one other thing, and he's like, wait, what do you say? And they have to learn the verbiage of every single company they work at.
Yeah, one that I got caught out on recently was Instance. I thought we were all pretty universally using Instance to mean a virtual machine. And it turns out that some folks are using it to discuss a collection of resources that support an application. So if your application has a database and two VMs, that for them is an instance.
Oh.
And so we were causing a lot of confusion when we talked about tagging your instance.
Yeah. I could see that where it'd be like, that could be like 100 servers that instance and be like, hey, your instance only costs $10, but I've got 100 servers. Well, what do you mean? Like, in the...
Yep. Okay. So, and this kind of derailed a little bit from your trends question, but I think it can sometimes be hard to even project a trend or know what is trending when we're all using different words or the same word to describe different things is actually the bigger problem that I see. So
makes sense. Well, Mara, thank you so much for joining me for this awesome conversation. I mean, we definitely dove into a lot of things, not only FinOps, FinOpsX related, the trends, public sector.
Yeah.
I always enjoy our conversation.
Always grateful to be included.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, John.